Breaking news tonight, the gripping testimony before the American people on Donald Trump's efforts to pressure the Justice Department to overturn the election. Former top justice officials testifying before the January 6th committee about the tense Oval Office meeting 3 days before the attack, where the former president proposed replacing the acting attorney general with a lawyer who would pursue his false election claims. One witness saying Trump told him to just say the election was corrupt and leave the rest to him and the GOP, and revealed the names of the GOP lawmakers who allegedly sought pardons in the aftermath of January 6th. The other major story tonight, the landmark Supreme Court ruling expanding gun rights, overturning a more than century-old New York law restricting concealed carry. The immediate impact as the Senate clears the way for a final vote on the first major gun safety bill in decades. The unrelenting heat wave threatening tens of millions. Al Roker is here. And the dramatic rescue, the Team USA swimmer fainting in a pool during competition. The incredible underwater images, her coach diving in and saving her life. Tonight, that swimmer sharing her story in an NBC News exclusive.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. An unsent letter described as a murder-suicide pact by a former Trump White House lawyer stood at the core of testimony in today's January 6th committee hearing. Three former top Justice Department officials describing former President Trump's efforts to enlist help from the department to perpetuate his unsupported claims of election fraud, including pressure on the DOJ to send an official letter to Georgia election officials. That letter falsely stating the Justice Department had identified significant concerns that may have impacted the outcome of the election. When DOJ leaders refused to sign it, the president reportedly telling them, just say the election was corrupt and leave the rest to me. Today's hearing focusing on the actions of former Assistant Attorney General Jeffrey Clark, who witnesses say stood ready to do Mr. Trump's bidding. Let's get late details from Garrett Hake.
The January 6th committee tonight laying out their case that former President Trump attempted to force the Department of Justice to help him overturn the 2020 election, pressuring senior officials to make claims of widespread fraud that did not exist.
President Trump ultimately wanted the Department of Justice to say the election was, quote, corrupt and, quote, leave the rest to me and the Republican congressmen.
A quote supported by a witness's handwritten notes. Mr. Trump weighed replacing the acting Attorney General Jeff Rosen with a lower-level official, an environmental lawyer named Jeff Clark, who had drafted a letter to key states, falsely claiming the DOJ had found significant fraud there.
And when he finished discussing what he planned on doing, I said, good, congratulations, you just admitted a first step or act you take as Attorney General would be committing a felony and violating Rule 6E. You're clearly the right candidate for this job.
I made the point that Jeff Clark is not even competent to serve as the attorney general. And I said, that's right, you're an environmental lawyer. How about you go back to your office and we'll call you when there's an oil spill?
I thought Jeff's proposal, Clark's proposal, was nuts. I mean, as the guy said at a certain point, you know, listen, the best I can tell is the only thing you know about environmental and elections challenges is they both start with E. And based on your answer tonight, I'm not even certain you know that.
DOJ leadership threatened to resign en masse.
The leadership will be gone. Jeff Clark will be left leading a graveyard.
Fifth and executive privilege.
Clark repeatedly invoked his Fifth Amendment rights when questioned by the committee.
Death.
Federal agents searching Clark's Virginia home on Wednesday, seizing his electronics. Committee evidence showing Clark was recommended to the president by Pennsylvania Republican Scott Perry, who is among several members of Congress who testimony showed later asked for presidential pardons.
Mr. Perry asked for a pardon, too. I'm sorry. Mr. Perry, did he talk to you directly?
Yes, he did.
Perry had previously called claims he asked for a pardon a, quote, soulless lie. Top DOJ officials debunking conspiracy theories pushed by the president and his aides, including a YouTube video suggesting Italian satellites were used to switch Trump votes to Biden, flagged by Chief of Staff Mark Meadows.
I emailed the acting attorney general and I said pure insanity, which was my impression of the video, which was patently absurd.
While Trump allies dismissed the committee's work as a Democratic distraction.
It's a political committee,
And the one thing I do know, and the American public knows, gas has gone up $1.86 a gallon since the day Nancy Pelosi announced that committee.
Well, Garrett, the committee referencing today what Trump White House counsel Pat Cipollone called a murder-suicide pact. What more do we know about his cooperation with the committee?
Well, the committee says they've had informal conversations with the former White House counsel, but today renewed their call for him to testify on the record for their investigation. It's a missing piece, Lester, that the committee very much would like to fill in before their hearings resume in mid-July.
All right, Garrett Haake, thank you. Now to our other top story, today's landmark Supreme Court ruling on gun rights. The court striking down a New York state law saying it went too far in restricting who can get a permit to carry a gun in public. But the impact goes far beyond New York. Pete Williams now on the ruling.
For the first time in American history, the Supreme Court ruled that when the Second Amendment says there's a right to keep and bear arms, that means a right to carry a handgun outside the home for self-defense. The court struck down a New York law that required showing a special need beyond a general desire for self-defense to get a permit for carrying a concealed gun in public. By a vote of 6-3, the court said no other constitutional right requires showing some special need to exercise it, and that's not how the Second Amendment works. Writing for the majority, Justice Clarence Thomas said local governments can still ban guns from sensitive places, but he said that doesn't simply mean anywhere the public congregates. And Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Brett Kavanaugh said states can still impose licensing requirements, like background and mental health checks and firearms training.
The Supreme Court today said you can't require someone to justify why they want to conceal carry a gun, but it was leaving open where the state could restrict these guns and who could have them.
The decision will have an immediate impact on New York and five other states with similar restrictions, but in the ruling's most far-reaching language, it said a concern for public safety isn't enough to justify new gun controls. Justice Thomas said gun regulations must be, quote, consistent with this nation's historical tradition of firearms regulation.
I think this language is going to make it really difficult to justify gun laws going forward and will lead to courts striking down a wide variety of gun safety laws.
In dissent, the court's three liberals listed nine recent mass shootings, including at the school in Uvalde, Texas, and the supermarket in Buffalo, New York. Justice Stephen Breyer said courts must consider the serious dangers and consequences of gun violence that lead states to regulate firearms.
We'll get more decisions tomorrow. Nine cases remain from this term, including the one on whether to overturn Roe v. Wade, Lester.
And Pete, what does today's ruling tell us about the makeup of the court currently?
It says that this court's supermajority is now flexing its muscles, the conservative supermajority. Remember, the court has ducked this question of guns outside the home for 14 years. This term, the conservatives had the votes to answer it the way they wanted, and we're likely to see this same 6-3 voting pattern in decisions yet to come, Lester.
Pete Williams at the Supreme Court, thank you. The response to today's ruling was swift from New York's governor and the mayor of New York City, vowing new gun laws in response. Gabe Gutierrez has that part of the story.
With gun violence surging across the country, tonight some city leaders are blasting the Supreme Court's decision.
We cannot allow New York to become the Wild Wild West. That is unacceptable.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams says local officials are weighing their legal options. The NYPD has recovered more than 3,000 guns so far this year, and gun arrests have hit a 28-year high.
The decision ignores this shocking crisis of gun violence every day, engulfing not only New York, but engulfing our entire country.
In a state still reeling from last month's Buffalo mass shooting that left 10 people dead, a defiant Governor Kathy Hochul is considering calling a special session of the legislature to come up with new regulations.
We can have restrictions on speech. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. But somehow there's no restrictions allowed on the Second Amendment.
But the president of the organization that brought the lawsuit welcomed the ruling, which he says protects the Second Amendment.
The time has come for this. The judges decided, and they're going to have to live with it.
Other states with similar laws to New York's are now scrambling to defend them.
What works in a rural state like Wyoming doesn't necessarily work in the densest state in America, like New Jersey.
Do you expect more legal challenges to the laws in New Jersey as a result of this ruling?
Yes, I think the Supreme Court invited open season on challenges to gun laws.
As the high court struck down some gun restrictions,
the yeas are 65.
Today, the Senate cleared a key procedural vote on others, advancing a bipartisan bill to combat gun violence. A final vote could come tomorrow.
Gabe joining me here right now. Let's circle back to that Supreme Court decision. New York officials very quick to point out this does not mean folks can immediately start carrying guns in public.
Yeah, Lester, private businesses can still prohibit weapons. There will still be background checks. What we expect is that lawmakers will now debate what exactly a sensitive area is where weapons can be banned. Is that hospitals, subways? That's also an open question right now, Lester.
All right, Gabe, thanks very much. In Florida, 1 year after the collapse of the Surfside condo tower that killed 98 people, a judge today approved a $1.2 billion settlement for the families of those who died and survivors. More than two dozen defendants were sued for negligence, including the building security company and a consulting engineer. Tonight, much of the southern half of the country remains in the grip of a dangerous heat wave with more records broken today. Al Roker has it all for us. Al, is there relief on the way?
Well, not until early next week, Lester, but until in the meantime, 28 million of us under heat advisories, watches, heat warnings as well, stretching from Texas all the way into Florida. We are looking at record low warm temperatures from Dallas, Shreveport, Atlanta, Tallahassee tonight. So those temperatures don't drop down that much, so they bounce back up big time tomorrow afternoon with records possible in Dallas, Stillwater, Birmingham, Albany, Tampa, and New Orleans. And then again, as we go into the weekend, those temperatures hang around. But as you can see, by Monday, temperatures start to come down a bit to still above averages, but at least cooler than they've been.
All right, Al, thank you very much. As the country awaits the Supreme Court's ruling on Roe v. Wade, many women in states with restrictive new abortion laws are looking for other options, even crossing into Mexico in growing numbers. Here's Morgan Ranford.
For many women, Dr. Franz Theard is their last chance. His New Mexico practice is one of just a few remaining abortion clinics along the U.S.-Mexico border, just 1 mile west of the Texas state line.
We've increased by 100, so we do about 250 a month now.
Abortions per month?
Per month.
That jump since last September, when a Texas law banned abortions as early as 6 weeks into pregnancy. Before that, the state allowed them up to 20 weeks.
Not doing an abortion because you have 6 weeks or 5 weeks is almost like not doing abortions at all.
But some of those who can't find the help they're looking for across state lines are leaving the country entirely.
Many American women are coming here to Mexico to buy abortion pills. The most commonly used does not require a prescription and costs about a tenth of the price. We're about to meet two women who provide abortion services out of their home here in Mexico.
Just outside of Monterrey, activists Vanessa Jimenez and Sandra Cardona founded La Aborteria, where they provide the abortion-inducing drug misoprostol and guide women on how to take it. They say they've seen a dramatic surge of American clients since the Texas law went into effect.
Con dos o tres chicas de Estados Unidos al año.
Cinco por semana.
Sí.
So before you were seeing 2 to 3 American women a year. Now you're seeing 5 American women a week.
Mm-hmm. A veces más.
And sometimes more.
Sí.
¿Y de dónde vienen específicamente? And where are they coming from specifically?
¿Que han venido aquí a México? De Texas.
So the majority of women you're seeing are coming from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not alone. Another Mexican organization, which opened its doors in January, says Americans now make up 25% of its customers.
¿Me pueden dar un ejemplo? Por ejemplo, ¿qué les dicen? Can you give me an example? What do the women coming from Texas tell you?
La mayoría viene con mucho miedo.
It's fear, not only of going to jail, but the economic penalties. And you're saying even though there hasn't been a case since the law changed in September in Texas, it's enough to inspire so much fear.
A fear that's driving many women even further from home. Morgan Radford, NBC News, Monterrey, Mexico.
In 60 seconds, with cases of monkeypox on the rise, shortages of vaccine now being reported as health officials voice growing concern. Back now with the growing monkeypox outbreak. The World Health Organization saying today there are more than 3,000 cases and one death in 48 countries. New York City today began offering the monkeypox vaccine. As Stephanie Gosk reports, the clinic was quickly overwhelmed.
Today in New York City, monkeypox vaccines were given out for the first time, only available for those at high risk, gay or bisexual men who have had multiple partners in the last 2 weeks. But the one clinic in Manhattan giving out shots was overwhelmed by demand, closing its doors to walk-ins by midday.
I have monkeypox. I was notified by a sexual partner that I had encountered.
Actor Tim Hickernell is suffering from sores and flu-like symptoms.
What started as 3 sores became more, and even to this day, I feel like I'm finding new ones on my body. Like today, I just found one on my hand.
According to the CDC, there are 173 cases in the U.S. across 25 states. Most cases are mild.
At this point, the general population should not be worried that monkeypox is going to cause another pandemic. We're just not there yet.
But high-risk groups are being asked to remain vigilant.
It appears that intimate partner contact is the key component and that you have to have close physical contact.
Monkeypox is not nearly as contagious as COVID. Still, the World Health Organization is considering declaring a global health emergency. A decision could come by the end of the week. While here in New York, Hickernell hopes to help by telling his story.
I just feel it's important to educate one another and look out for each other and just keep talking about it.
Awareness, say medical experts, will be the best defense. Stephanie Gosk, NBC News, New York.
There's more to tell you about, including complaints against airlines through the roof and the troubling new signs for what millions of travelers might face as we head toward the July 4th holiday. The summer travel season is heating up, and so is frustration. New data out showing complaints against airlines have surged 300% above pre-pandemic levels. As Emily Aketa reports, the frustrations are growing ahead of the July 4th rush.
For thousands of Americans this week, their summer getaways landing them in an airport Armageddon.
We've had multiple delays and chaos.
More than 2,000 flights axed just since yesterday. Travel app Hopper reports more than a quarter of recent flights have been delayed, fueled by industry staffing shortages, soaring demand, and severe weather.
I was in the airport for over 5 hours, maybe 6.
The chaos comes just as airports brace for another flood of travelers July 4th weekend. An anticipated 11 million to pass through airports over the holiday, despite the soaring cost of travel, the price to fly spiking 45% since 2019.
Are we going to see the chaos in the airports continue?
We are expecting to continue to see significant delays. Demand, people booking travel and wanting to travel, has well outpaced airlines rebuilding their capacity.
To improve reliability, major airlines continue to trim summer schedules. Today, United announcing it's cutting 12% of daily flights here at Newark. AAA believes the airport frustrations will push more to the road this Independence holiday. According to one study, many are eyeing Las Vegas, considered the top destination for July 4th.
So we're going to drive there, actually, even with the gas prices being so high.
Millions set to crisscross the country next week over a holiday experts fear will be marred by mishaps. Emily Iketa, NBC News, Newark, New Jersey.
A history-making moment at the Westminster Dog Show. Trumpet, a 4-year-old bloodhound from Illinois, becoming the first of his breed to win Best in Show at the 146th Annual Canine Competition. This year's show drew more than 3,000 dogs in more than 200 different breeds. Up next, the American swimmer saved by her coach in a remarkable rescue. Our exclusive interview with both coming up. Finally tonight, the harrowing moments in a pool for an American swimmer who passed out but is alive thanks to quick action from her coach. Miguel Almaguer spoke with them both in an exclusive interview.
States of America, Anita Alvarez.
It was another stunning performance for American artistic swimmer Anita Alvarez, who drew cheers from the crowd and a smile from her coach until a wave of concern washed across the World Aquatics Championship in Budapest, Hungary, as Alvarez suddenly plunged into darkness.
What's the last thing you remember?
I remember feeling like it was a really great performance. I started to feel a little bit of numbness in my fingers, and then honestly, just kind of everything went black, and that was kind of it. It all happened really fast.
Alvarez, a 2-time Olympian, was in trouble. Slowly and motionlessly, the 25-year-old drifted to the bottom of the pool.
As soon as she was going down, immediately I know that something was wrong.
Sensing Alvarez had fainted, Coach Andrea Fuentes did what stunned lifeguards waited to do. Desperately reaching for Alvarez, Fuentes used all of her strength to wrap the swimmer in her arms and lift her to the surface.
It was like in slow motion to me, like, you know, for Anita it was fast, but for me it was a year.
Underwater for roughly 2 minutes, Alvarez was rolled onto the pool deck where she finally started gasping for air.
When did you know you'd be okay?
I think right away I knew I would be okay. As soon as I started breathing and was awake and everything.
Likely fainting because of exhaustion, this rescue was incredibly the second time Alvarez was saved by Fuentes during competition.
I mean, I say this all the time to her and to other people. Just so grateful to have her as a coach.
Tonight, the bond of a lifetime and the photo more powerful than words. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News.
What a drama. So glad she's okay. That's Nightly News for this Thursday. Thank you for watching. I'm Lester Holt. Please take care of yourself and each other. Good night.